Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents First Lady and Co-Pastor Darlene Bazemore.
Praise God. Amen. Well, as Pastor said, we do thank God for being here on today. We thank God for travel and mercy and how he blessed us to be able to go to Virginia and to come back safe and sound without hurt, harm, or danger. We just thank God because it was a blessed trip. It was a trip that was peaceful. Amen. And when you can go somewhere and because of past situations, and then you can be in a peaceful environment, it is something to be thankful for. So I'm just thankful, and I'm very proud of Jasmine and her accomplishments. She has had some trials. She's had some ups. She's had some downs. But I'm thankful for her expected end. Amen. I'm thankful that she hung in there and that she persevered and that she kept focused and she kept the faith and she was able to walk on that Mother's Day. So I'm just thankful for that. I thank God for all of the praise reports that have gone forth, and I thank God for all that he's doing in each and every one of our lives. And as I was preparing and studying, this had been dropped into my spirit maybe about 2 weeks ago, and it was because of where I was at and the place that I was in at the time, and I knew that that the Holy Spirit would develop it and give it to me in full. But I had become in a state of existence. And I don't know if any of you can identify with that, but rather than living in a state of expectancy, I was living in a state of existence. I was just existing, yeah. If you get what I'm saying. And one of the things, you know, that we have to do is we have to make a choice in our life. There are many ways that you can live your life, but one of the things that you have to do is you have to make the choice. You can make a choice as to whether I'm going to live in expectancy of what God said that he's going to do, or I can just exist on a day-to-day basis. And existence within itself is just the fact or state of living. It's just continued survival. And when you're existing, you just basically go into survival mode. You know, you do what you have to do because you have to do it. That's what you do when you're existing. And today we're going to be talking about living in expectancy versus living in existence. Our scripture that we'll be reading is found in John 5, and it's verses 1 through 9. And it's the familiar story about the man at the pool of Bethesda. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to turn there with me. And in the fifth chapter, starting at verse 1, it says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's often talked about, often preached about, often taught on. And I thought about this particular passage of Scripture and how he was infirmed and lame for 38 years. And when you think about it, he was positioned at a place of healing, but he had to step into the pool. He had to either be carried in, he had to be put in, he just had to get to the pool. And sometimes in our lives, we're in position to have healing. We're in position to receive what God has for us. We're in a position of expectancy, but we have to step into the pool. We have to step into that place where the trouble, where the water is troubled, in order to get our healing, in order to get our deliverance, in order to get what God has promised for us to have. Now, expectancy within itself is the state of thinking or hoping that something will happen. We have to remain in a state of expectancy. When you become in a state of existence, you're in, like I said before, you're in survival mode. I remember a pastor talking about how when he worked at GM, General Motors, that there were people there that worked on the same assembly line that he worked on. And those people had a mindset of coming in, doing their job, and then leaving and starting the same thing over the next morning. They had no expectancy of a hope or a belief or a future that there was something beyond just coming to work on the assembly line. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with working on the assembly line. A job is a job, you know? And if you have that job, then that's fine. But there should be something within you that drives you and that moves you, and there's a certain passion there that you will want to move up and to do better and to make even more money if the opportunity presented itself. So Pastor saw an opportunity to be able to move up, but there was something that he had to do in order to get to that next level. He had to go and he had to get his college education. When he was going to school, taking care of his family, working on the assembly line, studying day in and day out, the people that were in that place laughed at him. They were like, you know what? It's not going to happen for you. You know, you think you're going to get this fabulous job just because you're pressing on and trying to get your college degree. Come on, preacher man, that's not going to happen. But he had a belief and an expectancy in him that if he did the action, and that is going to school to learn more, then he could expect a better job and a higher pay to be able to take care of his family. So he continued to press on, irregardless of what it looked like, irregardless of how long it took him. He may have been able to take maybe one class a semester. But whatever it looked like, he continued and he persevered with expectancy of that destined end. As he did that, he was able to graduate. He was able to earn his degree. And he was in a place, in a position where the water troubled, and this position was opened up for him to be able to go into, what is it, into the training department. So see, we have to put action with what we're expecting God to do. If we merely exist, then nothing's going to happen. We're going to just get up in the morning, we're going to eat our breakfast, go to work, take care of the kids when we come home, cook dinner, clean the house, go to bed, and wake up in the morning and do the same thing all over again. But there has to be an expectancy to what God has promised you and what he has promised through the word. So I look at that example, and he was able to persevere, and he was able to do just what he expected to do because of the actions that he took. In Genesis 1 and 28, Pastor has often spoken about this, but looking at this scripture in Genesis 1 and 28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." This is what God told us to do. The verse prior says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Then he told us what he wants us to do. Yeah. After he created us, he told us that he wants us, he blessed us first, and then he said to us, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue and take dominion." These are the things that God wants us to do. These are the things of expectancy that we should be not just looking at our situation and not just looking at our surroundings and our circumstances, but these are the things that God has commanded in his word for us to do. I can't look at my circumstances and then say to myself within doubt and disbelief the word of God. I have to believe that irregardless of what my circumstances look like, that I was created.
Yes, yes.
I was created from the foundation of this world to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish and to subdue and take dominion.
Yes, yes.
That's what you and I were created for. It doesn't matter what we see.
That's right.
Because when you think of it, in expectancy, the mere part of the definition is the state of thinking or hoping that something will happen. So it doesn't matter what you see when you hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, yes.
But you have to believe that without the shadow of a doubt, that God created us to take dominion. He created us to multiply. He created us to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. He created us to replenish the earth.
Yeah.
These are the reasons that we are created. So we can't just exist. We have to live life with expectancy.
Hallelujah.
That what God said is going to happen, it is going to happen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When you think about this story, this man was lame for 38 years. It reminds me of my favorite, the woman with the issue of blood. She had had that issue of blood for 12 years, but she had an expectancy of being healed.
Yes.
This man was lame for 38 years, meaning that he was paralyzed and that he couldn't walk. But he constantly was found at the pool. When Jesus came, he was found at the pool of Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the pool of Bethesda within itself, Bethesda is the Hebrew word for pool or pond or bath, which is also called the house of mercy. And in studying the pool of Bethesda, it is thought of that this is called this because it is the mercy of God shown to his people that can come in the first that come into this pool of water when it's troubled. It's the mercy of God towards them to heal them of their sicknesses and their diseases.
Yes.
So here you're dealing with this man, 38 years. His problem had become his way of life. And a lot of times, because we're in a situation for a period of time, our situation and our surroundings have become our way of life.
My God, that's good.
Yeah.
Because we're not living in expectancy. What we see here today is not the expected end.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live with expectancy. expectancy.
Yes.
We have to live with hope. We have to live with belief because we have to be undeterred.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that she says, I'm not deterred by what I see.
Mm-hmm.
But I have become undeterred and I take a stand on what God has promised.
Mm-hmm.
What we see here, we have to be undeterred
at
the promise of God and live in expectancy for our own lives and what God is trying to birth within each and every one of us and for this ministry as a whole. This ministry is pregnant.
Yes.
This ministry is pregnant, and just as an expectant mother, she has the expectancy that her baby will be born in 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could happen sooner.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen later.
Mm-hmm.
But she has the expectancy that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you get pregnant and when you conceive, you don't expect that that baby's going to stay there.
Right.
You have something that God is forming on the inside of you, and it's created within your womb to not stay in, but to be birthed.
Yes.
And in ministry, it's the same way. God has put something in restoration and other ministries alike to be birthed, not to stay in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot look at what we see, but we have to have an expectancy of what God said.
Yes.
We have to know that, yes, that baby could be birthed sooner. It could be birthed anywhere from 7 months on. It could be birthed, and that's when they consider the baby basically being full grown, and it's okay for you to deliver if it comes a little early.
Yeah.
But it could be born a week late, like Jasmine. So we don't know when the birthing, the actual labor, we're in labor, but we don't know when the actual birthing is going to take place, but it doesn't matter because we have to live in expectancy. We have to know that it's going to happen. Amen? So this man who's at the pool of Bethesda, he says in the word of God that no one helped him. He's losing his hope of being healed. He's been sick for 38 years. His situation was looking hopeless at this point. And some of us may feel the same way. I remember being in this place of existence when I would come into the house after going to work, and I'm living in an apartment knowing that God said that we're going to live in a house.
Yes.
So you go through the course of your day, and when you come back at the end of your day, you come into your apartment. And as long, you know, you look around and you're like, well, this is nice, it's homey, it's comfortable. But I had started existing. I wasn't hoping anymore. I didn't have any expectancy of what God said he was going to do. I stopped looking at houses in my phone. I didn't even want to talk about a house because I figured, well, this is where God has us. So my expectancy had left and I was merely existing. I was going to work, I was coming home. I was going to work and I was coming home. I had no expectancy, but I had to get myself into the Word of God. Because what I realized is that in the Word of God, there's life, there's joy, there's strength, there's peace, there's an overcoming that can happen to my spirit if I allow God to come in. There's strength in my weakest hours. And the more that I dug in, the happier I became. And the more alive and awakened I began to feel, because now I was expecting again. I knew that the baby was there or is there on the inside, just like a mother does, but an expectant mother. But if you don't feel the baby moving, then sometimes you might even forget that you're pregnant. But on that first flutter, where you feel that first flutter going through, not even the kick And this man, if he could have just, you know, as I was reading it, I believe that he had some expectancy and he had some hope, because in the scripture it talks about, as I'm coming, it mentions that he's coming, but other people step down in the water before him, so he's not one of the first to get there. So I believe that he hadn't totally given up, but he has been sick for so long that he probably wondered in his mind, is this really going to happen? And that's where we are sometimes. We've been in this state so long that we wonder, is it really going to happen? You know, you get a little drip, and I was thinking, I was talking to Pastor, and I was telling him, you know, even last night I said, you know, we get a drip, but it seems like the faucet just dries up. You know, it doesn't keep dripping, or it stops dripping and then it may drip again later. And, you know, you wonder just what is happening, God? Where am I? You know, where are we right now? And I was thinking about the position that, you know, God blessed me to be able to get, and that was like my drip. And then it just seemed like things kind of came to a halt, and then Jasmine graduated. That's another drip, and then things came to a halt. But you wonder, you know, God, when is the spout going to be opened all the way and just give me the overflow, you know? Just turn them both on, you know? Give me the hot and the cold. It don't matter. You know, just pour it on, you know? And I was telling him that. But even in that, God encourages you throughout the journey. The drip is an encouragement. You know, even though the faucet's not pouring and just pouring out to the overflow, it's encouraging you to let you know that he hasn't forgotten you. He's still there with you. And this drip here is to encourage you that you're on the right path, but you just got to keep going, and you can't give up, but you have to expect from me. And in, you know, in doing that, we have to continue with hope, and we have to believe, which is part of the definition of expectancy. And when you think about hope, hope is the feeling or expectation of desire for a certain thing to happen. So we can't lose that.
That's right.
We can't lose that passion. We can't lose that desire. And if you would turn to me to Romans 8, and it's Romans 8, 24 through 25. We're going to read that. And we have to keep that burning desire going. In Romans 8 and 24, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." So just like we said here, we have to have hope. It doesn't matter what we physically see with our eyes, because if we see it, we're not hoping for it. But it says here, "For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" And then it says in verse 25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it."
Yes.
And that's what we have to do. We have to be patient. We have to wait with expectancy that God is going to do just what he said he's going to do. In Romans 12 and 12 says, "Rejoicing in hope." So while we're waiting in hope and while we're being patient, we have to do what? We have to rejoice. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Hallelujah. So we have to rejoice while we're hoping. We have to believe. Believe, by definition, is accepting as true. So we have to believe. We have to accept those things that God said as true, as a fact. We can't waver on that. We can't wander in our minds and wonder, is it going to happen? In Matthew 21, the 22nd verse, it states here, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive."
Yes.
So we have to believe. If we believe, then we will receive it. And a lot of times, we don't believe. We say we believe, But when the going gets tough, do we really believe that God's going to bring that thing to pass? But we have to remember that whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, that's what we're going to receive. And it says we shall receive it. And that's the word of God. Now, there are times during this journey and during this walk where, you know, the enemy, he just wants you to make, he wants to make you feel like, you know, that you're in a drought and that you're in a desert situation and that there's no relief around you. But we have to live expecting the overflow. We have to live respecting to be refreshed from by God. How do we do that? Through his word. His word is everything. His word is life to us, life everlasting. His word is what's going to help us and remind us of where our provisions come from, where our source is. Our source is not on our job. Our sources come from God. Our provision is not just merely our job. Our job is a resource, but God is our source. Well, in this story, the word came to the man at the pool. This man that hadn't walked in 38 years and asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he answered, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Now, there's no doubt that everyone there or near, everyone around or near the pool, they also wanted to be healed in one way or another. But just as Jesus asked the blind man in Mark 10 and 51, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Jesus knew that this man was blind. He knew it. But he asked him, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." What did this question proposed do for this man? This question that was proposed, it reinforced everything that this man wanted Jesus to do. It reinforced his need and his expectation of what he wanted Jesus to do. It stirs up in him his hope, his belief for a cure. And it's just like with us. Jesus may be asking us the question, what is it that we want him to do? And when we tell him what it is that we want him to do, it stirs up that expectancy of that thing that we want him to do for us. We must say it. We must declare it. We must decree it. A lot of times we say, speak life to your situation. But we have to say it. Whatever you say, that's what's going to happen. If you continue to tell yourself you're tired, oh, I'm tired. You say that all day, then when you get home, what are you going to feel like? You're going to be tired.
That's right.
Well, you've been speaking it out into the atmosphere all day long. If you say, well, I feel like I'm catching a cold, well, you, because you said it, when you get home, you may be inclined to take cold medicine because you've spoken it all day long. That is what you have gotten into your spirit. And whatever you say and whatever you focus on, that is what's going to expand.
That's right.
So we have to be able that when we're going through these situations, we have to say what we want, but we have to expect it to happen.
Hallelujah.
You know, we can live our lives in a couple of different ways, and like I said, we can live it expecting or we can live it existing. And to a point, I think that the man at the pool of Bethesda was existing. You know, just living day by day. We don't know how he got there. It doesn't say how he got to the pool. It doesn't say that, you know, maybe he went home at night and then he came back the next morning. It doesn't really say. We don't know. But what we do know is that if he were to get into the pool, that if he was one of the first, that he would be healed. When I was looking up the pool of Bethesda, it talked about how, you know, I wanted to see how deep it was, because I remember Joyce Meyer saying at one time, if she was a man laying at the pool of Bethesda, and you know how funny she is, she said, I would have just kind of rolled in or something, you know, tried to get somebody, hey, on your way, just push me into the pool. And, you know, and then thinking, well, was this pool, you know? And it talks about the different layers and the different steps and how, you know, just getting to the pool, you had to go down 13 steps and down another 16 steps. And then between that was a 12-foot story. And, you know, so this pool was not your little kiddie pool that you blow up and inflate during the summertime. This was deep. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, you have to think of his surroundings and what he may have been going through. But just like him, when the water's troubled, we can't be afraid to step in. You know, and a lot of things hold us back sometimes from stepping into the water when it's troubled. Sometimes we can be in a service and we'll know that the water's troubled and that the presence of the Lord is here and that healing is in the room. But because of pride, we don't want to step in while the water's troubled. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want anybody to see us stepping in.
Yes.
Or, you know, the prayer line may be called and you may feel to yourself, well, you know what? I'm a minister, so I should be praying for other people when God is speaking to you and telling you, you need to be out there. Yes. You need to be one of the first in line to get prayer.
Yes.
But because of your title and because of the way you're
yes.
feeling that
yes.
people
yes.
may be looking
yes.
at you, you don't want to step into the water
That's
while
good.
It's
That's
trouble.
Good. That's good.
So, you know, there may be other things that are holding you back, such as, you know, a lack of passion. Because you've been waiting so long, your passion is gone for the things that God has told you that you were going to get. So now your expectancy level is not there, so you don't want to go in when the water is troubled. Something else that might hold you back is you might be scared to jump. I look at children at a pool, and I remember myself at a pool, and I would see the water, and I had no fear. I would just run. And I would jump off of the edge. I didn't know if that was the deep end or the shallow end. But I ran and I jumped. And it's just like with other children. They do the same thing. They have no fear. They have no fear of these things. But with us, a lot of times we allow fear to grip us. We allow, you know, the thought, well, God, if I jump, what's going to happen? If I pursue this thing and I keep going on, you know, what is going to happen to me? You know, I want to have expectancy and I want to believe, but God, if I jump, what happens? I think about Steve Harvey and he does an excerpt on jumping.
Yes.
And he talks in this excerpt about jumping, he talks about how, you know, figure yourself or think about yourself in an airplane. And you're going skydiving and you have the parachute on. And he says, you know, in order to do the skydiving task, you have to jump. You got to jump out of the plane. You know, but we can get ourselves so gripped by fear and allow the enemy to talk to us and allow the enemy to whisper into our ears that no, we are no longer expecting that parachute to open when we jump. But we have to have an expectancy that this parachute, when I jump, is going to work.
Yes, 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 yes.
God is not going to put you in a place where you are not going to be fruitful, where you're not going to prosper, where you're not going to multiply, where you're not going to take dominion and replenish the earth, because he said that we were created for that very thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
We were created for the ministries that each and every single one of us carry on the inside of us, but we were also created to be here in this place of restoration so that restoration could be birthed through expectancy as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
God is going to use and unite each and every one of our gifts for the birthing of this ministry, but we have to have a state of expectancy.
That's good.
We have to expect and hope for the things that we do not see. We have to believe as an act of truth
mm-hmm.
and fact and accept it as true that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to do it collectively. I look at this man and I look at his situation. And I said to myself, we cannot surroundings to stop us. We have to, you know, we have to take away all the excuses. We have to take away the excuses, oh, well, you know, my husband didn't support me, or it looks like, you know, it's beyond my reach, or, you know, I don't have the resources to start doing this, and I don't have the resources to start doing that. You know, everyone else was pushed in the pool before me, so, you know, I guess it's not meant for me to be healed. We have to take away the excuses.
Yes.
And act in expectancy. If I don't let these distractions and negative thoughts get in the way, then I can allow myself to hear from the voice of the Lord. The Lord could be speaking to us. He could be telling us what to do. But if we're so distracted and we're not in that quiet place to hear from Him, and if we've lost hope, then we won't hear what it is that He's trying to tell us. We have to be expectant. We have to come to service with an expectancy. We have to come to service with an expectancy that God is going to encourage someone who may not be encouraged on today, that God is going to heal and deliver someone that may be sick coming through those doors, and that He's going to do what He said He would do through His Word. But we have to have a sense of urgency. We have to have a sense of expectancy to know that what we have prayed for so long, the things that have been spoken into our spirit, the things that prophets and apostles have come to us and told us about, we have to know that those things are still going to happen.
Hallelujah.
We have to expect it.
Yes.
If we don't expect it, then you're going to find yourself in that downtrodden position. One thing that I do admire about this man is his perseverance. He knew what could happen if he was one of the first in the water. At the time that the water was troubled, he kept himself in position for a healing. He just didn't stretch himself far enough to go a little farther. Some of us are in position for a breakthrough, but we're not stretching with expectancy. We're in position and we see God doing things for other people, but we wonder if the same thing will happen for us. You know, if we could only get our feet in the pool, if we could only be one of the first to get in the pool when the angel comes to trouble the water. You know, we may ask ourselves, why are we always in the background? Why does it seem like, you know, I'm always the last to be blessed? We ask ourselves all of these questions, you know, why did Sister So-and-so get her car before I did? But in turn, we have to be happy for them. If we can be happy for the people that God is blessing, don't you think that God is no respect of person, that what He did for one, He's going to do for you? He's going to do the same thing. But we can't wonder. We have to believe. We have to accept it as a true fact.
Yes.
Expectancy says, God, I thank you for blessing Sister So-and-so. I know that you're able. I believe. I receive.
Mm-hmm.
You are an almighty God, and I praise you for what I'm believing for.
Yes.
In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have of you for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So God, since these are your plans for me, you know, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to wait with expectancy for them to happen because I'm fully persuaded that what you said is going to come to pass.
Hallelujah.
All I have to do, Corbett, is just step in. You just have to step into the pool of expectancy. You have to stop existing, living one day just like you did the past. But you have to have an expectancy, Pat, that is going to happen. The things that you prayed for in your prayer closet, behind closed doors when no one could see you, when no one could hear you, those things are going to happen. You're going to have an expected end, but you have to keep believing. You have to keep your hope alive. You have to feed yourself with the Word of God. Get all of the scriptures on expectancy and hope and belief and repeat those words to live in expectancy.
Hallelujah.
Jesus gave the command, rise. You must get up from where you are. You have to release yourself from the mindset that things are not going to change and that they're not going to get any better. They will get better, but you have to put action to your circumstances and have expectancy that God is going to bring it to pass. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And he did just that. He had to put into action his belief that he could be healed. And he had to obey the command coming from Jesus. Just as with an expectant mother, you don't just sit around and wait for the baby to come, but you plan.
Yes, yes.
You get things. You prepare the nursery. You prepare for this baby's coming. So why not do that with everything else that we're expecting God to do? We have to prepare. We have to take action. We have to move and believe that God is going to do it. He may give you an instruction and you're like, oh, well, was that God? You know, what did he say? You know, was that really his voice? Rather than doing what he said. You have to heed to the call of action and you have to move with expectancy that it's going to come. In your obedience, there's healing and there's deliverance and whatever you are seeking God for.
Hallelujah.
Live your life today with expectancy. Don't just exist, but rather expect what God has for your life to happen. No matter how it looks, no matter how long it takes, know that what God said is going to come to pass and live with expectancy. Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name, Jesus. We're going to ask that you stand.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.